We've drafted a couple of Belgian-born tour guides to bring us the highlights of the Lowcountries today on Travel with Rick Steves. And don't be surprised to meet a few beer pilgrims along the way. And since being Irish is one of the most common ethnic backgrounds for Americans, two guides from Ireland will join us to help you get started researching your family lineage in Ireland, both north and south. First, let's check in with a couple of listeners who wrote us about their own experiences looking up ancestors in Europe. Our email address is radio@ricksteves.com in case you'd like to share your own travel stories, and our phone number is 877-333-RICK. Give us a brief account of what's made your travels interesting, and we just might call you back to tell us all about it on the show. Kay's on the phone from Florence, Arizona. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Thanks for your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I went to Sweden, and I was able to find my relatives over there, be able to tour around the homes that they lived in. We have been into genealogy for a number of years and been looking, and we had found family over there but had never visited with them. So once I decided that I would make that trip back over there, exactly 100 years after my great-grandfather came here.
Wow.
I contacted them, let them know that we were coming to visit, and it went extremely well.
Did they know about you, or how did that work?
When I had contacted them by email and exchanged information, the only way that they knew us was just by letters for a very short time.
Now, did you take advantage of any of these immigration centers? I know in Växjö, in Glass Country there, in southern Sweden, where they've had more per capita emigration than almost any place in Europe. That was the whole exodus out of Sweden when it was such a tough place to live back in the 19th century. And they've got very, very helpful research centers that American Swedes can go and look up their roots. Did you take advantage of anything like that?
I did. I went to Växjö and went into the research center there, and they were able to print me out pages with some of my family history and where they were buried, where they had lived, and also where they had left the country.
Wow.
And so what ship they had taken.
What did you need to bring there in order for them to help you out? Just your name? Or I've heard you need to know the ship they took off on or something like that.
You really don't need to know the ship. All you need is the name, their birth dates, and if it's, say, it was my great-great-grandfather and his sister that came, his father's name, and they were able to take it way back for me just with that information. You do have to pay for information, but it is not that expensive. Yeah. As a matter of fact, this time when I went over, I had a friend with me, and he took just very little information about his family, and they, for about $60, were able to give him all kinds of information about his family, also born in Sweden.
And does that tell you where the ancestors of those emigrants who did stay in Sweden, where they are living now, and how you can look them up?
You can travel that information forward and find them, yes. And they're very helpful.
There's no security concerns about that? They just give you those names and you can give them a phone call?
They gave them information and let them get a hold of us.
Ah, that's how it works. But I would suppose, unless you're a real jerk, that your relatives would want to get in touch with you.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that's great. Did you watch The Immigrants and the New Land, those two wonderful movies, before going to Sweden?
I did.
Yeah, I just think if you're a Swede going back to the old country, don't you agree you've got to see that doubleheader movie?
You really do, and it gives you an insight into what they went through.
Yes.
Just getting here.
We can't imagine. My grandparents came from Norway, and, you know, they homesteaded up in Edmonton, Alberta, and they came over here not speaking a word of English. And two generations,
exactly.
I don't speak a word of Norwegian. Talk about quick assimilation.
It's very interesting, and I've met all my living cousins over there now.
Okay, so you're a Swede, a Swedish-American after a couple of generations here. What surprises did you have about the culture when you finally got home for the, you know, the lifestyle and the food and the traditions?
There wasn't a lot of differences. They are very much more family-oriented than we seem to be these days here in America.
Hmm.
They are very, very well-educated, every one of them, and that is because their government helps them out. They're all college educated. They're driven, I guess, by their heritage to make a better place for themselves. Their homes are very green, very eco-friendly.
Hmm.
And that surprised me how much.
Would you say the parenting was strict and disciplinary, or is the parenting sort of loosey-goosey?
No, I think they're very strict. At least in my relatives that I visited,
right.
They're very, very family-oriented and very strict. They do a lot of things together, a lot more than I see families here doing together.
So I think in every country there are emigration centers. I think the Swedes are some of the very best. And if you happen to be Swedish-American, you go to this town called Växjö. And do you remember how to spell it?
It's V-A-X-J-O.
And yes. It's pronounced Växjö. And that's in the middle of glass country, in the middle of emigration country. And that's where you had like half of the population leaving the country back in the 1800s going to America because it was so tough to live there. And those who stayed have quite a story to tell. And those who left, their ancestors can come back and go to the immigration center and get a line on their relatives and have an intimate experience back in the old country.
They can.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
We're tracking family roots in Ireland in just a bit on Travel with Rick Steves. Right now, we're checking in with listeners who have their own family history to report from their travels. Gary's on the line in Vancouver, Washington. Gary, thanks for your call.
Oh, hello, Rick. Well, first I want to say I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
My name is Kokstas. It's a Lithuanian name. Father's from Lithuania, so is my grandfather. And there's always been stories that have been missed in our family about how my grandfather arrived in the United States. He actually arrived on Labor Day, 1909.
Hmm.
And we've always wondered about our Lithuanian family or cousins. Was there anybody over there?
Right.
We did have some letters from 1959, 1960, addressed to my dear brother and signed by a lady named Veronica Galinauskas.
So this was in the 50s?
This is in the 50s.
So that would be 50 years or so after the family left Lithuania for America.
Yes, after my grandfather left.
Right.
So he's been contacting his sister during that time period. And these are very interesting letters. Of course, they're in the middle of the Soviet occupation, as Lithuanians call it.
Yeah.
And she's describing her life and times in the Lithuanian Soviet Socialist Republic and the winters and her troubles on the collective farm. But she also mentioned that she had her children's names, and more importantly, we had a return address. In Lithuania, it's kind of the pin on the map of where to look. Thankful for the internet now, we contacted actually a family researcher in Lithuania, and we asked him, can you find these people? Can you find our family?
From the address you picked up in the 50s.
Yeah, we sent him copies of the of the letters.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 or 4 weeks later, he emailed back, you have family in Lithuania.
He said you got family in Lithuania.
Family in Lithuania. That's one of those OMGs, oh my God. Also, my surname, there's always been talk of where the missing letters were.
Kokstas.
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 Now, he replied back, and the U came back that was missing for 100 years.
Because some guy at Ellis Island just tried to anglicize it or something, Americanize it?
Yeah. So it actually is pronounced Kuakstis.
Oh, well, thank goodness it got simplified.
Yeah, so it was shortened.
Now, did you get back there to Lithuania?
Actually, we did. He put us in contact with the family, and so we're emailing back and forth with the various English language speakers there. And then we finally said, okay, surprise, we're coming to visit. So this was in October of last year.
20 years after freedom.
20 years after freedom, yes. And so we planned our trip out and planned 5 days with our new family.
And was it worth all the trouble and excitement?
Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. I mean, their family also had these rumors of past history of they had relatives in America.
The first connection in almost exactly 100 years of
That's
the
right.
family. Wow. It's a beautiful thing you're able to reconnect.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
So did they, whip you up a great meal and dress up in traditional costumes, or what was the deal?
Oh, no. It was very interesting. We were waiting at our motel for my cousins to arrive, and then this young lady arrived with these three big bodyguards. It appeared to be, but it turned out it was her husband and her two brothers-in-law.
Oh, that's good, because I was, I was thinking, oh, you might have family that's Russian mafia.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a... still a suspicion left over from the Soviet era,
mm-hmm.
where you don't really trust anybody till you know what's going on.
Yeah, I've noticed that across the former Soviet Union, where all these, because they have a heritage where, you know, the government was bribing people to tell on each other. You couldn't even trust your relatives.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. So we went to my cousin Stefania's house, and oh my gosh, there is about 20 people in there, the movie camera's going, and the snacks are put out on the table, and everybody said hello in their best English, which I think they just learned some of it.
In anticipation of your visit.
Yes, and practice.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello, my name is.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the best English speaker was, she was 15 years old.
So what did you, was it awkward? What did you do when you're sitting with relatives that you can't speak with?
It was like a family reunion to them also.
Yeah.
So they were talking amongst themselves and telling stories. And Ramuna, our translator, finally she said, I'm sorry, there's three different conversations going on.
Had a translator. That was smart.
Yeah. Well, this was the 15-year-old.
Oh, the 15-year-old. Okay.
She was the translator.
I think it would have been smart to just hire a translator to come in there and make sure everybody could talk. But at least you got the 15-year-old.
Oh, yeah. She was very
That's great.
They're teaching English in school now. Of course, you know, it used to be Russian.
Right.
As their primary second language.
Yeah. Did you get the sense that things are coming together for that economy and that culture?
Yes. They're a thoroughly westernized country.
Because it's the poor country of the three Baltic states, I believe.
Yes.
Sort of the rural, you know, rustic, a little bit behind compared to Latvia and Estonia.
Yeah, but they actually have everything that we have here in the West.
Well, it must have been a great experience for you, Gary. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Okay, bye now.
All right, bye. Ani žemės arti, su kaimynu, su šeimyna, nereik susibarti. Karvelėlį, paukštužėlį, kokį tu burkuoji, ar vargelius, ar kryželius, tu savo ruokuoji.
Tips for looking up your ancestors in Ireland. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves. We're at 877-333-7425. And by email, it's radio@ricksteves.com. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.